For me, leaving Apple has been one of the most difficult decisions I've ever done in my life. And what I will say is that also for me, a manager was what actually helped me in this journey. For me, Apple has always been the dream. It's always been the company that I wanted to get in. And once I was there, I was like, okay, I'm done. And it was funny because this happened when I was like 26 or 27. So I was like, oh, wow, that's perfect. I already achieved the peak of my career at 26. That's fantastic.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Happy New Year! I hope you had a colorful start into 2020, and I'm super happy to welcome you to the first episode of this year, where I got the chance to speak with Alessio Pieroni. Alessio is an Italian living in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, with quite a diverse track record. He made it into executive roles quite early in his professional career, spent some time at Apple as an HR talent specialist, and is the head of marketing at Mindvalley since more than 3 years. In focus in all he does now? People. And Alessio's talking about how he always thought a career is about focusing on results and how he only learned later in life that it should rather be about people. He shares how leaving Apple was the most difficult decision, what drove him towards this step, and what an amazing role his manager played in the situation. We discuss what failure and self-doubt mean to him and how he redefines relationships with a category of people he calls vampires. Are you curious now? Why he says there is no growth in your comfort zone, where his intuition and the change of perspective are helpful to him, and where his fear stopped him from trying something that he aimed for. All this and more he will share in this very insightful and fun episode, and I hope you will now enjoy it as much as I did. Alessio, ciao! I am happy to have you here with us today. Thanks for joining.
Ciao Gina, such a pleasure to join. So happy to be here.
I mean, looking at the time now, we have a 7-hour time difference to Kuala Lumpur, and your day already comes to an end. Was there something that made you smile today?
Oh, wow. So many things, I will say. In general, like one of the things that I really love that makes me smile is my team. I completely love my team. They always keep on surprising me. And I just came back from a very long trip, and just seeing their love, their hugs, we hug a lot in my valley. It's definitely something that makes me smile every single day.
Yeah, people is like a big word, and we will come back to that, looking at your career path and what you're doing. But maybe we start with another question. Just to give our listeners a bit more information about you, if I would have the chance to ask your closest friend, who is Alessio Pieroni, what would he or she tell us?
What I hope they will tell us or what they actually will tell us.
You can tell us both.
So what I will say is this, is Alessio is definitely a guy that put his friends first. I have this huge thing that come from where I was brought up and coming from a very small village in Italy. And one of the greatest thing of this small village is about close lens that we get with our neighbors, with our friends, with our people. Mm-hmm. And whatever I always try to create wherever I go, it's families, is this sense of belonging and families and stuff. And this could happen whenever I try to make a marketing campaign, or whenever I try to create a team, or whenever I try to take the decision of where I want to live, in which town, in which city, in which neighborhood, something like that. So absolutely, I will say that they will say that Alessio is someone that tried to put his friends first and always try to create those sense of connection and families everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that we need to know? Maybe in regards to what you would have wished them to tell us?
Well, obviously, I would love them to say that I'm the smartest guy they ever met or anything like that, but I definitely don't believe I'm that kind of person. tell also something else, because a lot of time I believe that in life we always would like to be famous for our IQ. So our intelligence, but so many times it's much more the emotional intelligence what we are famous for. So the EQ, and I think that in the end of life, when we'll be on our deathbed or things like that, that's actually what will matter for us: how much have we loved, how much have we lived, and so much better to be famous for the EQ than for the IQ.
Alessio, looking at your career path so far, it shows a very colorful picture, which always had people being the focus of your work. Did you know early in your career that this was the path you want to follow?
Absolutely not. In the beginning of my career, I actually always thought that it was about results. And that was my biggest feedback that was always given to me. Whenever I was in university, I was part of organization. I was trying some small entrepreneurship project. Everyone was telling me, Alessio, you have too much focus on your results. And the very interesting thing was about the fact that since a lot of people gave me so much this feedback, I actually started exploring the people part. And I fall in love with that. And that's exactly by nurturing connection, understanding how to be a better leader, how to focus on people, and understanding fundamentally that if you want to achieve results, the only way to do it is through people. That was a bit the shift in my career and was what brought me to take different decisions in my career, right? So definitely a big part of that when I discovered the whole people part was when then I joined Apple. And I was actually working in HR and recruiting. And so I was developing people, recruiting people, understanding them and making sure that they could go in the best position ever in the number one company in the world. So definitely was a huge part for me on understanding much more the people side of that. But another probably side of the fifth medal is what I'm doing right now in my valley where I decided to move to Kuala Lumpur, and I'm working in marketing. For me, right now that I'm in marketing, also marketing is about people. I deeply believe in that, and I deeply believe that marketing is the meeting of, sure, data and science, but also a lot of intuition and behavioral psychology. If you don't understand people, you cannot understand marketing. And the entire point is, how can I understand these people so I can give them the best marketing campaign so that then I can allow them to actually pass their belief system so that they can, in our case, buy our online courses and develop themselves and change their life. So to me, that's still a big part of people. And the other part where people are super important in my daily job is definitely leading a team. At the moment, I lead a team of 45 people, all very young, all between 25 and 30. And it's incredible to see how their development, their change, their things is exactly what really make or break the business, or make or break the results, but also will make or break my day. Like, as I was saying, it's exactly that, seeing those people develop and see how they grow is what really make my heart sing, absolutely.
Yeah, now going back one step, actually, you just mentioned the development, and you have left a very well-paid position, which you've just mentioned at Apple, for a job with a way lower salary in comparison to the last one. And yeah, when I read about that, or when I heard you talking about that now, it reminded me that some years ago, I have also decided to leave my highly paid position in the corporate world to leverage my skills, my drive, and my strength in a role that really had an impact and made a true difference in other people's lives. And yeah, after having admitted that to myself, that I was not happy anymore with what I did, so that was my big turning point, I was lucky to have a good mentor, and that was actually at that time already a former manager, so management is very important. Yeah, and he asked me the right questions that actually triggered an internal process of self-reflection and, in the end, change. Yeah, and I'm just wondering, what was the driving factor for you to actually take the step?
For me, leaving Apple has been one of the most difficult decisions I've ever done in my life. What I will say is that also for me, a manager was what actually helped me in this journey. For me, Apple has always been the dream. It's always been the company that I wanted to get in. And once I was there, I was like, okay, I'm done. And it was funny because this happened when I was like 26 or 27. So I was like, oh, wow, that's perfect. I already achieved the peak of my career at 26. That's fantastic. And my entire concept was, how do I grow inside Apple? Like, there was not even an option of how do I go out of Apple. But the interesting thing is that after a year and a half there, I really figured out that, oh, I'm not happy. What I'm doing every single day doesn't make me grow. And I was hungry for other opportunities, but at that moment, there were not that kind of opportunities inside Apple. Mm-hmm. And speaking with my manager, I was having this conversation with her. I was showing I'm ready to work 24 hours a day. I'm ready to do so much. What can I do? And then at that moment, she said, look, Alessio, you're probably one of the smartest guys here, but speaking frankly, it might simply be that the thing that we're doing here and Apple itself thing is not exactly what you're looking for at this moment in your career. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, my manager, that is actually the one, you know, mm-hmm. that's supposed to suggest me stay in Apple, do this, grow here, go there. She was actually telling me, oh, maybe that's not exactly the best place for you. Have you ever thought about exploring other things?
Yeah, well, what did you feel when you heard her say that?
First time I was like, are you crazy? You're supposed to keep me here. Why are you telling me to leave? But on the other side, I felt incredibly grateful. I was like, wow, like she really cares about me. And me as a person, not me as an employee that bring results, but me as a person. And she was happy for me to leave Apple that at the moment I was bringing very good results to the team to make sure that I will find my way and be happy. So wow. I'm extremely grateful for that conversation. And that's kind of allow me to understand that probably there was an entire world out there that I needed to explore and maybe some risk that I needed to take.
Yeah, I think it shows again how amazing and how important it is to have the right people around you, and especially manager who are, as you've just explained, looking at you as a person with your own development process and your own goals and also your own strength. So if I just look back, I remember that the reactions of some people around me, they could not quite understand why I took this step, like leaving such a big global company and leaving all the money behind and the security and so on. And they were kind of the opposite of empowering. What was your experience in that moment, really taking this decision and communicating it to the people around you?
Well, I definitely, leaving Apple and telling to other people was crazy. Everyone was thinking I was crazy. Imagine telling to my mom that I had a fantastic job in London, in Apple, dream that I could live, especially coming from Italy, that's not exactly the most let's say well-placed country at the moment in terms of crisis or things. And she was like, are you crazy? You have everything. Why do you leave that, right? But on the other side, and this is something that I will always thank my family for, is like, even though they don't really understand why I take certain decision, they allow me to do that. And they always give me the space and be there, look, I don't really know why you want to leave Apple, but if you feel that that's what's right, we are with you. Go and do it. So I truly believe that certain times you might have your close people maybe that don't really understand, that tell you don't do that. But the one that truly love you in a certain moment, they will always say things like, look, we're still with you on that. And that's what I felt in general in all my friends and all the people. Everyone was like kind of shocked when I told them this. But on the other side, they were like, you are the guy that take crazy decisions, so we are with you no matter what.
Yeah, you were just running us through a big decision phase. And I was just wondering, what was the biggest challenge you ever had to go through throughout this professional journey and why?
That's an interesting one. Well, I would say probably my biggest challenge, it was the job I was doing before Apple. I actually was working and living in India for a year for a fantastic company named Your Story. The company is a sort of a tech crunch for India. So what we're doing at the time, we're actually writing about entrepreneurship startups in the core of the Indian ecosystem startup, which is Bangalore. And it was a very incredibly dynamic and beautiful job in which I could work with entrepreneurs every single day. And it was very dynamic and beautiful. But at the same time, I getting used to India, getting used to that working environment and surviving in India itself was so difficult. It was definitely one of the biggest cultural shock of my life. Coming from Europe and fundamentally having worked in Europe all my life till that moment was a huge shift, was a huge change, was something that put myself in such an uncomfortable position. I will say that from the day I learned that the word flexibility is probably the most important thing that you could have in life, And it has been life changing for me on so many ways. And maybe if probably today in what I do, I don't really use a lot of the things I learned in that job, but the way in which change myself on being flexible on different things, that's incredible. And it's something that I learned in the beginning of my career. Was so great for that. And then thanks to that flexibility, I can do so much better my job today. So it was incredibly hard, but I'm so grateful for the experience.
You couldn't see me nodding my head here now while listening to you, because I also lived half a year. I was living in India, in Mumbai mainly.
Okay.
And yeah, I would say that I also have never learned so much about myself than during this time in regards to this very special situation and setting I was put in. So it was a challenging time, but also I've been growing a lot. So it was nice listening to you and seeing that this also was something that was enriching your life in a way that it brought you forward. Looking at this challenge, or also like big decisions you had to take, was there any key learning that you could take from it for further life?
Well, probably the key learning that I would say that I took from these different decisions and stuff is that there is definitely no growth in your comfort zone. Like, you need to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And sometimes I really, every 6 months, probably I look back at what I'm doing and I'm like, am I too comfortable? Am I doing something that is too simple for me? Should I change my role? Should I change my position? Should I change my company? Should I reinvent myself and the things I'm doing right now to put myself into some bigger challenges? Because frankly, I know that that's where growth comes from. And it's difficult, it's painful, no one likes it in the beginning. But after you put yourself into these challenges, you're always, let's say, grateful of what's the outcome of it. And so many times, for example, right now in Mem Valley, I'm in the same position, I'm leading the marketing team for the past year and a half, 2 years. And it's much more, rather than reinventing my position or changing company or things like that, because I'm very happy where I am right now, it's really about reinventing the strategy, reinventing the focus, reinventing the goals, and making it in a way that it will always challenge myself, challenge the company, and bring us to the next stage.
And when taking these decisions to grow further, to look for new growth opportunities, could you say what percentage of key decisions were then taken following your gut feel?
I will say that I'm a person that over-engineer and overthink in my head. But what happened in every single of this situation is that I overthink for days, and then at a certain moment I have this list of pros and cons. Then I'm just, okay, let's scrap everything and let's go gut feeling. Intuition is always a big thing, and if I look at the biggest decision I took in my life, I took them from intuition. In my daily job, I'm a very data-driven person, but then for when it comes to big decision, big things, I like this to come from gut feeling and intuition.
Mm-hmm. And being having taken such a decision, did you ever had any feeling of fear or self-doubt from the moment you actually took the next step?
Absolutely. Like everyone has self-doubt and fear. And I believe that it's just about how you're able to live with that and how you're able to cope and understanding the whole part of this, right? One of the big things that a lot of our Mem Valley authors tell us in this case is look at it from a third person point of view. So let's imagine that I just changed my job and I'm like, oh God, I did the wrong decision. I left Apple, I went to Mem Valley, I went on another continent. Why the hell did I do that? Look at it from a third point of view and say, huh, interesting, Alessio. You have a fear there. Are you regretting something? What does this actually mean for you? And that's interesting because if you observe yourself as a third person, you kind of can kind of coach yourself, okay? And kind of detach yourself from your own feeling and simply understand, why am I actually feeling that? How can I actually take that feeling and coach myself through this to understand exactly what's happening to myself? And that's incredible.
Taking a different perspective and putting yourself out of the situation, looking at it from outside, it feels different, right? It changes the whole feeling towards it, and it makes it more easy. I think this is a very good advice for people who are in such a situation that I also see in my coaching practice. You also mentioned the word regret just a few sentences ago. Was there something on your personal or professional path that you regret doing or not doing?
Well, there was definitely a moment in my life in which I actually thought that I needed to become an entrepreneur. I wanted to become an entrepreneur. And probably the regret I have there is not that I actually that I didn't. The regret that is that I probably didn't even try. And I let my fear stop me in that case. And when I understood that the fear was too big, instead of facing it, I say, okay, let me find a corporate job. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely regret how I behave in that phase. But for sure, like, I know that one day in the future, I will probably go back to my entrepreneurship journey simply because I completely feel that there is a fear there. And if there is a fear, it means that, oh, there is a learning column for you. So I need to go there to face that fear in order for me to actually become a better person one day.
Looking back, what advice would you give your younger self then in that situation?
Well, I believe that the biggest fear at that moment, that was, I think, 25, 24, the biggest fear at the moment was, oh my God, if I fail as an entrepreneur right now, no one will ever want to hire me. So there was this kind of quarter-life crisis going on for me.
Quarter-life crisis.
Yeah. And it looks sort of the decision you're making now is the decision that will change your entire life. And if you make this decision wrong, everything will be screwed. And the fun thing is that the more I'm looking back at my life, the more I'm looking back at university, at first job, at entrepreneurship, at all this kind of stuff, I just felt that no decision is irreversible. Like every single decision, it's a decision that actually can bring you somewhere. And there is nothing that will kill your life or not. Like, so many times, a lot of people that went on university or are going out of university, they're asking me a lot of questions on what's my first job, should I focus much more on the university or in the extracurricular activities, what should I do? And I'm just like, look, a lot of this is cool, but a lot of this doesn't matter. Like, no one ever asked me in any job interview that I did in Apple or anything, where did I study? And there are so many people that focus so much on that and that believe that this is the most important thing ever. Nobody ever asked me in any job interview what was my graduation mark that I got at the end of my graduation. And it's so funny because so many people, especially in uni, they think that this is the biggest important thing. And probably that startup that I wanted to do, I should have gone. And if it didn't work, was a nice story that I could tell to my next job interview. It was definitely something that would have prevented me to get a job or something. So
yeah, what a nice way to put it. Collecting Absolutely. Stories in the end that you also can make use of maybe in the future then. And Absolutely. I mean, with the fear you had, that just reminds me on something that I've read in your LinkedIn profile. You've shared a quote recently of Elon Musk who said, failure is an option here. If things are not failing, you're not innovating enough. And as you have already mentioned when we talked before we started taping this episode, I also got the chance to speak with Jürgen Klopp about this in one of the podcast episodes. And he also shared that he would not be who he is today if he wouldn't have been allowed to make mistakes. So what does the word failure mean to you?
The word failure to me means learning. I believe that I completely stand by what Elon Musk say that, and people need to be allowed to fail and fail fast, fail forward, fail so much. But then stop. Think about what did you learn from that failure. Because a lot of people tell me, you need to fail a lot, and I completely agree. A lot of the success I had are because I failed so much more before getting those successes. But the key to transform a failure in a success is stop and learn from that failure. if you're not learning from failures, then don't fail. Like, I mean, there is no point in failing.
Yeah,
you
true.
Really need to get you really need to get a lesson out of that. And from the lesson you get, it will help you in the future not to fail. If you look at Elon Musk and Elon Musk's career and all this kind of stuff, he got so many failures in his life. If you look at, for example, SpaceX when he was launching the first rocket, something like that.
I read about that too. Crazy story.
He failed multiple times actually before achieving the first rocket. But do you think that he never learned anything from the failures he was doing? Obviously, he's a physicist and is a fantastic engineer. Obviously, he analyzed every single thing to understand, oh, I made this mistake here and there. Let me try something else now to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. And that's how we achieve success. So fail, but fail forward and learn from those failures.
Yeah, and which brings us back to growing, right? Because that also is what you need in order to grow. And would you say that it was training or talent that brought you to where you are today on your professional career path?
Absolutely training. Like between training and talent, 100 times training. I personally never believed that I'm such a talent. I don't know why you just have to say on that. But one of the major thing is that even when I was in school, I was not definitely never been the top student of my class or anything. So maybe that's why I have this belief that I'm not a top talent. But what I actually can say that is helping me a lot in my career now to achieve the position in which I am and everything is definitely the fact that I'm doing something that I'm incredibly passionate about, and that it really allowed me to use my free time to learn about the thing that I'm actually doing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so passionate about marketing, I'm so passionate about that I really believe that I want to do this every single moment of my life. Even in the weekend when I'm enjoying, I'm like, oh, let me learn a bit more about marketing. And it doesn't feel like work simply to me. It just simply feel like, oh, that's really what I enjoy doing. If I need to read something, I read about marketing because I love it. And that's the thing that I'm telling to my team every single time. It's like, I'm not the head of marketing of my valley because I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm definitely not. But I'm probably the head of marketing because I've learned more than any one of you in the last 3 years. And if every one of you would read, study, learn with the same passion, commitment, and thing that I do every single day, I'm 100% sure that you guys will be much better than me managing this team. But it's literally about what's your rate of learning. What's your focus and your passion about what you're actually doing, and that completely drive the way in which I'm going. So training versus talent, training 100 times.
Yeah, how easy things get when there's passion involved. And I also, what you've just described, like I have like every free weekend or traveling and having a relaxed day somewhere, I have minimum one, most of the time, 4 books with me in order to study more, understand more how people think, how they take decisions and all these new results and studies. So for me, this is also, something I see. I experience in a very different way now as I have found and followed my passion with what I do, how it does not feel like work, like you've just said, which is an amazing experience. And I'm just wondering, what would you recommend a friend who might just be looking for his or her passion, for what could be his or her path?
If I need to make a recommendation to a friend that looking for a passion, it's like, keep looking, don't settle. As I was saying before, I was doing recruiting in Apple. And I switched completely and went to marketing in Asia, like completely different. But the important thing that I did in the beginning of my career is that I was trying as many things as possible. And when I was feeling that something wasn't for me, I didn't like it, I started back. And if you really look at my curriculum vitae and my CV, it just doesn't make sense. I was doing for a journalist and entrepreneurship, then I was doing HR, then I'm doing marketing. Like, I think every recruiter will look at that and be like, what the hell did you do? And the answer is, I try to find myself. And that's the thing, a lot of people take their next job based on, oh, what will the next recruiter think when they see my CV or thing like that? I'm just like, well, sometimes take the risky decision, start back from zero, but go and understand what you actually like. And once you find that, you know that you will be happy in life. So, and I'm so happy because I know a lot of people that try to reinvent themselves at 35, 40 after 15 years of a career being stuck in the same position that they didn't like. And there is nothing wrong with that. It's fantastic. Better to do it rather than finish it, your career in the things that you don't like it. But especially when you're young, that's the moment where I would say try as much as possible and figure out what you actually like.
Yeah, and with all the passion and something that you love to do, still there are some days that are not the easiest ones. So, Alessio, what drives and motivates you to keep going when it's really tough?
That obviously, in my job, in every job, there are days that are not fun. There are days that I don't like. There are days in which I would like a decision to go in a certain way and doesn't. And in these days, the thing that keeps me going is people. Is certain time I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. Goodbye. And then I go back. I look at the people I work with every day. I look at what I really consider my family. I'm like, okay, let's speak seriously. Like, how can I leave this guy? How can I leave this girl? And it's too much. It's too much for me certain time to just looking at them and just say, hey, oh, okay, that's my place. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So this all makes sense.
Did you ever had to choose between personal and professional success?
Personal and professional success. I think that's a very interesting topic. I will say that I never had to choose between personal and professional success, but there are definitely so many times in life in which the line between personal and professional is blurred. And specifically, I think I was sharing on LinkedIn a few days ago. My girlfriend, since 3 years and a half, she's actually in the same executive team in Mel Valley, which makes a lot the entire personal and professional sphere.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a special situation then, right?
It's an incredibly special situation. And what I will say is sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes you want to go home and relax and she needs to talk about work because she has this problem. And sometimes it's vice versa, and way more time it's me that I need to talk about work rather than her. And I will say that it's sometimes difficult, sometimes stressful. But I think that the most important thing, as probably most of the times in life, is about communication. And it's about putting clear rules that whenever someone just can't speak anymore about work or just can't do that, you just say, okay, I'm sorry, like I just can't do this right now. Can we take back this thing tomorrow? And it has always been working out. And obviously this relationship is based on trust, it's based on communication. That's why I even if the lines are very blurred between personal and professional life, I would say it's always been very clear that there is a way to make this work, a way to make this happen. And that has been definitely a fantastic way to manage the situation.
Thanks for sharing this with us. And maybe one more question in regards to success. You are part of an executive team now. And I'm just wondering, how do you define success? And did it change throughout the time and being in this position you're in now?
Well, how do I define success? So I think that the first part of defining success to me is about being happy. And there is a fantastic story from Arianna Huffington that she always shared this concept that she starting the Huffington Post from scratch and make it to the millions and become incredibly famous and sold it for a lot of money and things like that. And then one day she was incredibly overworked in her life. And then she fainted in an office. She broke her cheekbone and she woke up in a... surrounded by her blood, right? And then she was saying, wow, everyone say that I'm one of the most successful journalists ever, that no one has been able to create something like the Huffington Post by themselves and like that. For everyone I'm successful. But then she say, when you wake up in your own blood, definitely that's not the definition of success. And the thing that then she say, and that's where actually the moment that completely create her own transformation is, and then was created a new company, which is named Thrive, is the fact that there is no success if your professional and personal life are not aligned. There is no success in a life in which you sleep 3 hours a night and you are full of anxiety. There is no success in anything like that. And that's why right now she's a big advocate of sleeping 8 hours per night, and she's a big advocate of having a much more balanced life that actually is successful, not just on what you make at work and on how being well balanced is everything. So I definitely recognize a lot myself in that. I felt way more successful when I started my career in Mount Valley from a, let's call it, humble position, but I was happy because my entire life was way more balanced than when I was in Apple. Mm-hmm. And even though I had a fantastic position, a fantastic job and everything, my life wasn't together. My life wasn't a great life. So success, it's a combination of a lot of things. It's not just the position you hold. It's not just if you're married or not. It's not just if you had this degree or not. It's a combination of your entire life.
Hmm. And yeah, thanks. Thanks for using this nice story to make a point here. What would you say, looking at all this? I mean, looking at the personal part and the professional part of your life growing, that's one of your key drivers. What would you say is the biggest waste of time, in your opinion?
The biggest waste of time is what I call vampires. And so many times in life you will meet people that are negative and they, let's say, suck life out of you. That's why we call them vampire. Certain time you just need to put some borders. You know, just need to draw a line and say, okay, I understand that everyone goes through tough times and things, but when someone really take energy out of you, and every time that you see them, spend time with them, you really feel incredibly sad about that, that's definitely a huge waste of time, because it doesn't just destroy these 20, 30 minutes you spend with this person, it destroyed the rest of your day. And it really suck out everything of your time. And to me, managing my relationship and understanding which kind of relationship I want and which kind of relationship I really don't want, it's a priority.
But it also requires tough decisions maybe then sometimes again, right? I can imagine. I mean, I had that in the past as well. And I agree to what you say, but it's not an easy thing to do when you're really in such a situation, realizing that there is someone taking more energy than sharing or giving.
Absolutely. It's probably the opposite of easy, right? It's very difficult. And the fun thing is at a certain time, those people are some of the people that you will dearest to are. And when your mom is a vampire or when your best friend is a vampire, what do you do? And certain times the problem is even recognizing that, right? Which is why so many times having a coach, having an external help that help you throughout this process, it's incredibly important. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the kind of person that will tell, oh, don't speak anymore with your mom because she's a vampire, right? But I will definitely tell, redefine your relationship. Understand exactly what you want to speak with her about or how do you want to manage the situation much better. Like understanding that you are in this kind of situation is definitely the number one step in order to figure out how to solve this, right? Mm-hmm. And absolutely, it's incredibly important to recognize this. Sometimes take tough decision if it's possible. If it's not possible, understand, okay, how do I want to redefine this relationship? Or maybe do I want to just share with this person that every time that you spend time with them, you're just unhappy? That by itself could be a huge change that you can make in this relationship. And I'm 100% sure that can already be the first step to redefine the relationship with this person.
Yeah, I think that many people who are now just thinking about that might have one or the other person in mind. And I think it's absolutely important to be aware that this is also something that is influencing us somehow. And we're not aware of that sometimes. It also might just be redefining new boundaries in regards to how to handle this. Looking at your life today, what do you like about your life, how it is today?
Wow.
That's
one
a mean last question,
like,
right?
Wow, that's a very mean question. It's very difficult. If I need to say one of the things that I like the most about my life today is the impact I'm able to have every day. And by impact, I mean the impact that I can have on people and people that I work with every single day and how I'm able to make them grow and things. But also the impact that I'm able to have by selling a product that I believe is actually changing people's life, like what we do in Mbali by selling our courses on personal growth. And to me, that has always been a big driver of what I do in life, and am I actually happy or not? Because the more I believe I can change the people around me, or the more I believe I can change the world, the more I believe that this life is a life well lived. So that's definitely something that make me proud of, and make me wake up in the morning and be happy about what I'm gonna do every day.
Yeah, what a nice sentence to close a very exciting interview. Alessio, thanks so much. It was really a pleasure talking to you and listening to you and your stories. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And yeah, thanks a lot for being here with us today.
I loved it. Thank you so much, Gina. Thank you for the invitation, and keep it going. I love this podcast. It's amazing. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for talking about it, because when I saw your post and I thought like, hey, you're so openly sharing these things and things that not a lot of people talk about. And I think it's just important for others to know I'm not alone. There are others who might, to the outside world, look super successful and everything runs so smooth and perfect. Just to show like, hey, it's always a process, and like what you see from the outside is not what actually happens in the inside. So that's why I think it's so valuable that you have shared all this with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and speak to you soon. Bye, Alessio.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. Did you enjoy this episode? Yay! Sign up for this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, or Android. And in case you want to stay up to date and connected, feel free to add me on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'm looking forward and wishing you a happy day ahead.